Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. I'll skip the intro blurb because this is really just an announcement that this Thursday, tomorrow, because right now it is Wednesday, May 2nd. So on Thursday, May 3rd, there will not be an episode of WPR Rebuttal because I'm interviewing. And there will probably be a lot of people doing a walk-in interview too. But bottom line is that I had already interviewed on Monday, April 30th, for another position in the same city. And it's going back and forth and back and forth because I'm only getting interviews for government agencies in Mass. I'm not getting any private sector interviews. And I suspect part of this permissive interview policy is because they use these outdated civil service exams to try to create the impression of egalitarianism by just recruiting as many people as possible to interview, but they're actually very selective. So they're wasting a lot of people's time, but they don't care that they're wasting the interviewee's time because the interview panelists are paid by the hour to interview all these people. The interview coordinators, the schedulers, are paid by the hour to identify openings where the panelists can meet with the interviewees. And in a lot of cases, they're working less than they used to for the same wage because now organizations such as the health department are using an online self-scheduling tool where the interviewees are invited to the interview, but they have to schedule themselves. They go click through a link in the email. They enter their login credentials for the scheduling app, and then they do it themselves. So the bottom line is the only people who get screwed in all this are most of the interviewees. N minus one. N is the number of interviewees, and the one who is subtracted from that total is the one person who is hired. And they're winning the lottery. They win that glorified gamble. Whereas everyone else just is a loser. They don't get paid jack squid for their time. They don't get any mileage reimbursement. It's ridiculous. And I know that, yes, there's an unemployment benefits program to pay for people while they go on these job interviews and stuff, but come on. Some job interviews have such a prep time and more travel, and you have to print out more documentation. Yeah, anything with the health department, you have to print out a background check and an employment application and a reference check and your resume and your references, which will be filled out by the people on the reference check, but they require you to print out the forms and rewrite your reference contact information on reference forms. So, you know, the interviewees are doing all this work, okay? And the schedulers are just doing the bare-ass minimum, okay? And the interviewees should get a part of their wage as compensation for doing all that. In fact, I believe that I'm going on a repeat interview. I had already been turned down for nursing assistant at Central Wisconsin Center. So I believe this time what I'll do is during the interview, I will just raise the subject. I'll propose, hey, considering that we do all this preparation time, how about paying us a stipend? If we successfully complete all the steps of the application and we're doing all this effort to save labor, we're saving the health department labor by filling out all the stuff, then give us part of the stipend as well. Because they still get paid to sit around, irrespective of how many people interview. My proposal is that in exchange for the interviewee filling out all the stuff, whether or not they actually get a job offer, they should get at least a token stipend to reimburse for all the mileage, driving to the interviews and all that. And they probably don't want to hear that, but they don't want me to interview, but they have to let me interview anyway because of the civil service exam policy. So I'm just going to rub it in, and I'm going to make them really think for once instead of just doing business as usual. Speaking of which, critical thinking is overrated. Nobody really wants a critical thinker. They just want a follower, and they want someone with good social skills who won't defend them, who won't be an iconoclast, who won't question institutions. If you're one of the types of people who questions institutions, then you won't be hired to ever use any job that would involve a college degree because you're just going to be blacklisted. If you join my higher education reform crusade, you're choosing a very tough road. You are accepting the possibility that you can be blacklisted, but think of the future in which no one on purpose ends up in my situation. No one should ever end up in my situation of being so educated and without a job offer or anything that would track into positions that would eventually use their degree. As I tell you, trying to get into fallback jobs is equally tough. And given that I get as many no's for these lower end jobs as I do for the middle tier jobs, I may as well focus on getting the non-entry level positions, because a lot of these positions that call themselves entry level are not. They're not entry level positions, even though they might say so in the position description. They're entry level for that organization, but you cannot just go from your college degree and get a job offer there. You have to be doing like years of this other work on the side, which if I knew exactly what type of experience to get in order to qualify for these jobs I'm after, then I would definitely go for these other jobs. But you know what the hiring managers and the interview panelists don't want to do? They don't want to give you feedback, because you see, that would actually be helpful. And what's the last thing a hiring manager wants to do? They don't want to be helpful to a rejected job applicant. No. Fuck all those rejected job applicants. I mean, that's their attitude. They won't say it as I said it, but that's what they're thinking. Yeah, they can die for all they care. But again, I'm going to start a repeat interview for nursing assistant to make more or less a political statement. Again, about how by placing such a paper burden and a transportation burden on the interviewees, they should get some reimbursement. I am just going to rub it into them. And I know that most hiring managers don't have a conscience, and they don't actually interview with the people. They don't interview with the candidates. The hiring managers are behind the scenes. They are not the interview panelists in most cases. And I know this because I've asked the interview panelists on different interviews here who else has input as to who we choose. And they explain it's not just the interview panel, it's also their supervisors. And if the supervisors aren't there and I cannot speak to them, then they're insulated from the emotional consequences of turning away people who should have an opportunity. They can go and naysay and reject and turn away, but they're insulated from the consequences of doing so. Now, that evinces that there might not be total social pass, because if they were in person listening to me, a lot of them would just buckle and they would offer me a job. Because I'm very, very skilled rhetorician. I'm well-spoken, and I'm well-read. When I'm speaking with someone in person, I usually get my way. The only time I don't get my way is when someone behind the scenes, whom I'm not allowed to reach, is making the final decision. And that's the whole problem with this farce of a job search. And that's why, instead of trying to cram all this stuff in the interviews and preparing a WPR rebuttal podcast, I'm not going to do anything this Thursday for WPR rebuttal. I'm not going to do a Friday episode. I'm just going to wait until next week, because all the stuff that's going on, I'm going to need the breathing space. Well, that's the end of this show for now. Again, tune in next Thursday at 12:30 p.m. Central Time. So if you're on the East Coast, that's going to be at 1:30 p.m. And if you're on the West Coast, it's going to be 10:30 a.m. Okay, this is Senator JPO signing off.